Thank you, Dorothy. So, Jesus says, whoever is not against us is for us. It's one or the other. You are either against Jesus or you are for Jesus. And if you are for Jesus, you are on the same team as everyone who is for Jesus. Whoever is not against us is for us. Jesus pushes us to choose, actually. Are you for Jesus or are you against Jesus? Now, I'm actually going to ask for a response here. I don't ask for a verbal response, so I don't want to pressure the people who are new and nervous, stuff like that, which means the people who are confident of their response need to speak loudly, just out of love for them. Can you do that for me? Okay. So I've got a question here. Are you for Jesus?
Yes.
Amen. Oh, that's good. Let's do that again. Are you for Jesus?
Yes.
You know what that means? That means we're all in this together. We are all on Team Jesus. There is no Team Michael or Team Brian or Team whoever, okay? There is only Team Jesus.
Amen.
We are united by the name of Jesus because we are united. Because we serve King Jesus. Jesus says you are either against me or you are for me. And actually in Matthew 12, Jesus expects the other half of this for and against divide. Matthew 12:10, Jesus says, whoever is not with me is against me. Whoever does not gather with me scatters. In other words, anyone who isn't with Jesus opposes Jesus. Anyone who isn't working with Jesus is working against Jesus. So you could be indifferent towards football teams. Some people close to me have trouble understanding that you can be indifferent towards the Dockers or the Eagles or football teams. But you can be indifferent, you can be neutral about teams, football teams, it doesn't matter. You could even say you can be neutral about big questions about the church and the best way forward. There are difficult things to see the way forward. It's hard to know the best choice, that's okay. You can be indifferent about politics. That's okay, I'm a swinging voter myself. It's okay to be neutral about politics. But Jesus teaches it is not okay to be neutral about him. Jesus says indifference towards him, indifference towards Jesus is not an option. Jesus says you can never be truly neutral towards him. Whoever is not with me is against me. And whoever is not against us is for us. We all have to choose. Are you for Jesus or are you against Jesus? It's quite confronting, Jesus. If you come in with the stereotype gentle Jesus, meek and mild, it can be quite surprising. If this is your first time here thinking about Jesus, still checking Jesus out, well, welcome. We're glad you're here. We love to have people checking Jesus out. As you check out the real Jesus from his biographies written by the people who were there with him, there are surprises. Jesus surprises you. Jesus still surprises me. And I've had a relationship with him for decades. I love Jesus. And Jesus loves me so much, he died for me. And he knows all the junk in my life. You might think you've noticed some junk in my life. You ain't seen nothing. He knows all of it. And he died to pay for that. He washes me completely clean in Christ. And Jesus not only died, he rose again to give us new life, to give me new life. And that is there for you too. Which is really good when life goes pear-shaped. It will go pear-shaped sometime. It's awesome to know that Jesus is with me. And to know that my future is totally secure with him. You know, I don't know all the path and things, but I know where it's ending up. With him rejoicing forever. I'm not saying this removes the pain. But we can live through the pain. Can love through the pain. Because we have been loved. You know, Jesus is comforting. Such a comfort. Jesus is encouraging. So much encouragement. But Jesus is also confronting. Surprising. As I follow Jesus, he challenges and he changes my life and my habits. And my prayer for every one of you here is that you will let Jesus challenge you and change your life and your habits and transform you. There's a lot of transforming to do. I pray that every one of you will know for sure that you are for Jesus. Because Jesus wants you to be part of his people, part of his team, part of his family. And everyone who is part of Jesus' family, not because we're good enough, but because he has died for us. Everyone who is part of his family is part of the same team. We are all on team Jesus. And on one level people go, yeah, but his disciples really struggling to understand this in today's reading. I'm not covering the whole reading largely because Steve covered earlier sections last week. But so we're in Matthew chapter 9, page 1001. I'm looking particularly from verse 38. So among Jesus' followers, so we're going along with Jesus' followers. This is getting caught today for some reason. There were a few guys who were known for putting their foot in it. Leaping forward boldly and often messing up. Okay. The apostle Peter, who became the leader, was particularly known for this. But today it's the apostle John, one of the sons of thunder, who jumps in. And so if we look at verse 38, Mark 9 verse 38, he goes and reports proudly to Jesus. "Teacher," said John, "we saw a man driving out demons in your name, and we told him to stop because he was not one of us." It can be very easy to be harsh on John for telling other people to stop. We can be very judgmental of John for daring to be judgmental. It's a particularly popular thing to do these days, to judge people for judging. But put yourself in John's shoes for a bit. Now, John and the other disciples have been with Jesus, like living with Jesus, moving about for definitely over a year at this stage. They've seen Jesus heal, heard Jesus teach, seen Jesus calm storms, been rebuked by Jesus, all mind-blowing stuff happening. They've spent months and months struggling to understand, well, who is this guy who we know is worth following, but who is he? Who is Jesus? And just a few days back, John backed Peter as Peter made the bold declaration, "You are the Christ." Saying Jesus is the Christ means the Messiah, different language, same word, which means God's anointed ruler, God's great king. John's in the group who are right there, the first to recognize Jesus is God's great ruler for all time. And John's been one of the first to pledge his allegiance to Jesus, to give his life to follow Jesus. Now, Jesus hasn't been saying, oh yeah, this will be just a walk in the park to him. If we look at verse 34 and 35 back in chapter 8, Jesus told them almost straight after this, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it." It's a good reason to drop out, isn't it? It's a warning then there against dropping out too, though. But John's heard the cost and he has stuck with Jesus. John and his friends are saying, yes, we will serve Jesus as our king, even if it costs us our lives. They're hardcore. And then Peter, John and John's brother James had the original mountaintop experience. They saw Jesus shining with the glory of God. God's presence come down. They heard God the Father himself say, "This is my Son, whom I love. Listen. Listen to him." John was right there. And so after this, you can imagine John, you know, pretty clear, isn't it? You've got to hang on every word Jesus says, you know. Even when Jesus says things that we know he didn't understand, like the Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men, they'll kill him, and after 3 days rise again, and we're told they didn't understand it. But they're still saying, they're right there listening to Jesus like God commanded. They've been there through much. They are the people who know the most of Jesus as King. They are the ones who know he is the one to serve and obey. But this other guy, John, sees driving the demons out. Driving them out in the name of Jesus. Who's he? Where's he from? We're not told, are we? Obviously John didn't know. The other guy hasn't been there with John and his friends. The guy wasn't one of them. He wasn't there when it made the bold claim, "You are the Christ." He wasn't there on the mountaintop. He wasn't even in the group they went down to when they came down from the mountaintop. He hasn't heard all the teaching Jesus has about what it means, I mean John has, about what it means for Jesus to be king. So how could this guy, who knows so little, declare Jesus' power as king? How can this guy, who knows comparatively little, declare Jesus' power even over the spirit world? So John says, "Oh, stop." John tells him to stop. Then proudly reports it to Jesus. Lovely slap in the face coming up. "Do not stop him," Jesus said. "No one who does a miracle in my name can in the next moment say anything bad about me. For whoever is not against us is for us. I tell you the truth, anyone who gives you a cup of water in my name because you belong to Christ will certainly not lose his reward." You can keep it open for a moment. Got a question. What marks this man as being for Jesus rather than against Jesus? Jesus earlier asked the Pharisees, "How do your disciples drive out demons?" So we know that some sort of weird spiritual stuff has happened from other people. So what marks this guy as being for Jesus? Got another question while I think of that one. Throw them both. Similar answer though. What marks giving the cup of water as being for Jesus? It's in Jesus' name. Thank you. Yeah. Glad somebody caught it wasn't rhetorical. Thank you. the actions are being done in Jesus' name. Jesus doesn't see John and the other guys divided because they're in different groups. Jesus sees John and the other guys united because they're both working in Jesus' name. They're both on Team Jesus. So he looks at what they and he sees it. You know, so it's almost like they're wearing. I'm trying to figure an illustration of this. I was thinking if you go home today and you as you rock up, there's some guy at your meter box pulling wires out. Okay. You'll be a little bit suspicious, fair to say. It'd be less suspicious if he was wearing one of these type things with a Western Power logo in the thing, wouldn't you? Be thinking, oh yeah, he may well have the authority to do what he's doing. He may well be representing somebody with the authority. He may well be part of the team that is meant to be doing this sort of thing. To my meter box. I actually wear this when I do a bit of engineering work. It shows that I belong to Seashore Engineering. It shows that when I speak, I am representing that group and their clients. And it shows that that I have the authority to actually give instructions to older men driving machines who've been driving them for many decades, which is sometimes interesting. But John and the other guy, they don't have logos and shirts and stuff like that. But they are still evidently on Team Jesus, with the clearly representing Jesus, with the authority of Jesus. It must have been their words and their actions that show this, that show they belong to Jesus and were acting on Jesus' authority. Their actions were done serving King Jesus. We want to make sure our words and our actions, our words and our actions and our attitudes show we belong to King Jesus. They are united by the name of Jesus. And this is, speaking of elephants in the room, important for us as a church at the moment. We have gone through a fairly bruising process around my call as pastor. It started with a division between, you could say, team open call and team no call. Shouldn't really say it as teams, but it can sometimes feel like that, can't it? Considered the four-year option and ended with good support for a one-year call. It has been hard. Divisions, differences and hurts have come to the surface. Nobody is unhurt. Let's not deny there is grieving to be done. Pretty well all of us have been confronted with our own sinfulness. So where does that leave us now? We're in a place both of danger and a place of opportunity. It's a place of real danger. If team no call withdraw until I'm gone, and team open call stepping up to take extra load, get all bitter with them, if people judge actions and proposals and ideas based as coming from our side or the other side, disastrous.
Sorry, Michael, the sheep do not call the shepherd. Nowhere in the Bible is it stated the sheep call the shepherd. He calls the shepherd, not the sheep.
That there are lots of different things and lots of hurts and disagreements and struggles and stuff. And there'll be a temptation for everyone. There is, not will be, there is a temptation for every one of us to split things into saying, depending on who's saying things, whether you write it off straight away, saying that's coming from the other mob. Or maybe you're more disciplined. Maybe you drag yourself along with an idea you see as coming from another group. It's interesting to get going again, doesn't it? but actually, in some ways, for people who've been involved in the process, and for people who come sometimes, that's one level of hurt. For people who've been involved in the process, you might say that's an overstatement. But let's be honest, we're all tempted to go that way. Or if somebody who we say will go along with them from the other group does something and then they make some mistake, bang, shut the door again. As soon as we're all like John. we can all write off what we see as coming from another group. And we're not the first church to face this danger. Not only do you see John dealing with that there. Bruce, can you shut the front door? If you look in I'll read to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. The Apostle Paul writing to in the early church. By the way, there's not terribly much chaos that we go through that the early church didn't go through if you get to know them. But, he writes there, 1 Corinthians 1 verse 10. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another so that there may be no divisions among you and so that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. Brothers and sisters, some from Chloe's household have informed me that there are quarrels among you. What I mean is this. One of you says, I follow Paul. Another, I follow Apollos. Another, I follow Cephas or Peter. And another, I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized into the name of Paul? Were you baptized into the name of Michael or Jeffrey or some other name? No. We are baptized into the name of Jesus Christ, but that's not the bigger thing. We are Christians because we belong to Christ as our King, as our Lord. We are united in the name of Jesus. So while this is a time of great danger for this church, it is also a time of great opportunity, a time to recognise our diversity, our differences, our different subgroups, but to unite in Jesus' name. That unity does not mean uniformity. It does not mean there's nothing to forgive and to work through. There are so many calls in the New Testament to forgive one another, to reconcile with one another. And reconciliation is hard work. If it wasn't, there wouldn't be instructions to do it because it would happen by itself. This is a time to come together because we are all on Team Jesus. A time to come together in our diversity as Jesus' body. A time to unite in serving Jesus together. We are united by the name of Jesus, and we are also united in the service of Jesus. If you look at the two examples in this passage, who are on Team Jesus, they are actively working for Jesus, actively living for Jesus. We are to actively live for Jesus, not for ourselves. We serve Jesus as our King. Because, like John, we recognise Jesus as God's King, the Christ, the one with the right to be in charge of every aspect of our life, of our being. Like John and the other man, who are both casting out demons, both doing things in service of their King Jesus. We're not united in sitting still. We are united in serving Jesus. And yet, this time, experience John goes through, it is a challenging experience because in some ways, he's going along thinking, okay, the most spectacular thing he's ever done is cast out a demon. And he goes along and there's somebody who doesn't even have a clue who he is, doing something just as spectacular as him, saying, oi, he's taken the best thing I can do. You ever had that sort of feeling? You're watching somebody else doing their service, and you go, well, that's kind of intimidating and impressive. Well, I thought I was. And sometimes then we can degrade what they're doing. Oh, it's not as good as what I do. Ever been subject to that temptation, and you want to build your own thing up? We would want to claim our service of King Jesus is the only real service that matters. Hey, we're a body people, all different parts doing different things. Other times we could see that something impressive happening, especially that might overlap with what we do, and we can get discouraged and go, hey, God's working through them to do that, then he doesn't need me, and I think I'll just sidle off out of the way and just watch God doing his work through somebody else, because obviously I'm not wanted. Ever been tempted to do that? Do you notice what Jesus tells John? He doesn't just say, don't stop him, don't stop the other guy. Sometimes you must go, well, stop yourself instead, you know. Let him be the demon caster outerer. Let him do the stuff. He doesn't tell John, take a break, step back from serving. Watch that guy serve me, then you'll learn. No, it's actually pretty close to exactly the opposite. Jesus instead highlights the importance of even the smallest action for him, even the smallest action in his name. I tell you the truth, says Jesus, anyone who gives you a cup of water in my name because you belong to Christ will certainly not lose his reward. Let's read that again. I tell you the truth, truly saying, I want you to get this. Anyone who gives you a cup of water in my name because you belong to Christ will certainly not lose her reward or his reward. Do you hear what Jesus is telling you? When you're doing it to honour Jesus, your service matters. Even the smallest thing. Jesus is saying your service of his people matters. Jesus counts his people as so precious that when we serve one another, it is as if we are directly serving the Master. Your service of Jesus' servants will be rewarded in heaven. Over the next year, a chunk of my role is going to be supporting other people stepping forward into different roles. Sometimes stumbling forward into different roles. Sometimes messing up. And I'm the one to support people as they struggle with things, try new things. I hope I can give a good cup of water. Are there areas Jesus is calling you to step forward at the moment? Kids church. There's lots of opportunities. Kids church, the property team, reliable admin support, the sound desk, getting things ready on Sunday morning reliably. There's plenty of opportunities. Join the prayer team, praying on Tuesday mornings or Sunday mornings. Or just you could take it more literally. You could upscale a cup of water. Upgrade it to a cup of coffee, okay? And go out for a cup of coffee with somebody here who you haven't ever spent that much time with. Love God's people that way. Love those checking out God's people that way. Jesus calls us to unite in serving him as King. We don't always do brilliantly at that, do we? I know of myself, sometimes we do a pretty rotten job of that. That's why I'm so glad Jesus is not only our King, but Jesus is our Saviour. As Jesus, just above this, at verse 31, he spoke of that he came to give, be betrayed, to suffer and to die for us. Jesus suffered and died to pay for all the ways you and I failed to live with him as King. Failed to serve him, honour him, love one another as we should. Hey, we'd all be in trouble if it wasn't for Jesus' death and resurrection, wouldn't we? Totally shot. Without forgiveness. King Jesus is big on forgiveness. Jesus pays for all our sin. That doesn't mean our sin doesn't matter. Actually, I'll read you what Rick's going to speak on in 2 weeks' time. You can look forward to another gentle passage that isn't confronting at all. So a couple of weeks' time, Rick's going to speak to you from, "And if anyone causes any of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to be thrown into the sea with a large millstone tied around his neck." And it goes on and doesn't get less colourful. I'm looking forward to hearing Rick speak about that. Thanks, Rick. Going back to the big thing today, Jesus calls us to unite in serving Jesus as King, to unite in his name. Which then, the obvious thing coming out of that is, well, why is Jesus' church around the world so divided? Why are there so many denominations, Baptist, Anglican, Christian Outreach Centre? We're going to look at that a bit next week. Only some core reasons why there were some. Back to one of the early points of division, because next week it's 500 years since a man called Martin Luther nailed a few points of argument that he wanted to make onto a door, which God used to set in place a chain of events to transform the world, actually, to honour his son, and also to create lots of different denominations in the end. So next week we'll look at some of the massive issues behind those events. But since we've got a mix of churches, and a really key question for us is to look at them. How do we relate to them? How do we approach these other groups? Well, since we have a mix of churches, today's teaching tells us the most important thing isn't the sign on the door or what group they're part of. Far more important is whether they are honouring the name of Jesus, whether their actions show that they live under the authority of King Jesus, whether they honour and serve Jesus as the King who died for us, who died for them, and who rose again. So basically, the big question is, how are they responding to Jesus? Are they for the crucified King Jesus, or are they against the crucified King Jesus? So when you're looking at other groups, trying to get a feel for that. And they're important questions to ask when looking at other groups, but they're more important questions to ask when looking at ourselves. The most critical questions are for you and me, every one of us. Are you against Jesus, or are you for Jesus? I'll give you two broad areas to think about. Are you against the Christ who died for you, the King? Or are you for the Christ who died for you? And second broad area to think of is, will you unite with others who serve Jesus as King? Not because they're brilliant or great or perfect, but because they serve the King who is brilliant and great and perfect. Will you unite with others who serve Jesus as King?